baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
Oh, my goodness, my man. The air is sweeter. Is it not sweeter? Colors are brighter. Listen, I think both of us have this very unhealthy way of following sports in which we tie our emotions directly to the results of the team we're following. And it has been a roller coaster of a ride for this Toronto Blue Jays team. But my goodness, when the highs are high, is it ever a beautiful time to be alive? And buddy, 8-game winning streak. This team is half a game back of the New York Yankees for the second wild card spot. They are 1.5 games back of that first wild card spot with the Boston Red Sox. Buddy, it's a whole new season.
Yeah. I feel like a week ago we were talking about, like, look, we might not make the playoffs, but like, we can still grow and learn how to win. And, you know, we looked at the series against the Oakland Athletics, the 7 games we had against the Yankees, and the 7 games we had against the Rays. And we were kind of just like making a hypothetical playoffs. Like, look, those are 3 playoff series. Let's try and like treat those like that's our playoffs this year. And now we might just actually get the playoffs.
Buddy, fate is somewhat in these Toronto Blue Jays' hands. New York and Boston play each other in a 3-game series. One of those teams has to lose at least 2 games.
Yep.
They play New York another 3 times.
No, we are absolutely in control of our own destiny.
They've got games in hand on Boston. Like, dude, this is not a pretend playoff race like we had kind of set up last week, where we're like, you know what, even though they're 4 or 5 games back, they still need to look at this like they're in a race. This is legit, man. They are in a race. Welcome everybody to the walk-off. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by Adam Mack. We did wind up sitting down. We're going to get right into all of this. Obviously, the Toronto Blue Jays starting pitching has been phenomenal. We'll break that down, as well as the bullpen. We'll talk Vladdy. He's back in a race for the Triple Crown. We'll even touch on those pesky Tampa Bay Rays that just continue to be the best team in Major League Baseball. Before we do that, we do want to touch on, we got to sit down with this week, New Hampshire Fisher Cat center fielder and outfielder Chavez Young out of the Bahamas. This is a kid who, his mental acumen for the game was really what impressed me. This is a guy who constantly talked about being in the moment, living play by play, you know, taking in the experience. A kid that moved to Florida from the Bahamas at 15 by himself in an attempt to get educated and play some sports. He didn't even care what sport. So if you haven't had a chance to check that out, we released it yesterday. That is going to be on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, whatever like that. And I did wish to quickly, before we get into the thick of this Toronto Blue Jays win streak, we do have, I wouldn't call it a new format, but just want to go over the walk-offs format. So we release this podcast every single Friday early in the afternoon. We have been doing what we are calling a mailbag, which is going over your comments on YouTube, any questions or comments you have to us on Instagram, the Walk-Off Podcast, or Twitter, at Walk-Off Podcast. And we do that for about 20 to 25 minutes before we live stream, which we live stream every single Tuesday game. And then we will release Wednesday afternoon, that mailbag from before. And then our interviews, rather than attaching them to our Friday show, are now free-floating. So that's an advantage for you, because that way, if we do wind up interviewing 2 or 3 people in a week, rather than sitting on them for weeks at a time, which is what we were kind of doing, we can release it as we go. All right. Anything to add there, my man?
No, I think hopefully doing it this way too makes everything a little more consumable, instead of having a, you know, hour and a half to 2-hour episode on Friday. now you get a, you know, 45-minute episode and an interview, and you can skip the boring news if you want and
break it up however you see fit.
Interviews you like or whatever. So,
absolutely. Well, buddy, let's just start with these just awesome, uplifting numbers. The Toronto Blue Jays.
Where do we start,
swept
man? Top to bottom.
The Oakland Athletics. They swept the New York Yankees. They are at 8 wins in a row. They are 11-1 in their last 12 games. And let me just touch on this for a second, too. This is the first time since 1908 that the Yankees have been swept in a 4-game series at home without holding a lead. And I don't know if any of you Jays fans noticed that. Not at one point did the New York Yankees hold a lead over this Toronto Blue Jays club over those 4 games. That is how dominant this starting pitching has been. And the bullpen in general. Listen, this team is 77-62, 15 games above 500, half a game back of the second wild card spot. Since August 27th, they've won 10 games. That's the most in the league. They have an ERA of 2.97. That is good for third best in the league. They are at 26 home runs, first in the league, and an OPS of 889, which is first in the league. An OPS of 889? Like, are you kidding me? This is the team's OPS? Yeah. Like, that's...
No, they're hot from top to bottom.
It is absolutely an exciting time to be a Blue Jays fan. And my goodness, if you've been on this ride all year long, good for you. We definitely have had to wear a helmet throughout parts of it. If you're just jumping back on the bandwagon, well,
welcome
that
back.
Is good news. It means our views are up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely seeing some bumps there.
So let's touch on this streak a little bit here, because I truly do believe that this streak has more consequences to it than just the experience that it's giving this young core. It has more consequences to it than the possibility of a playoff spot. So my question to you, do you think with this team going on this run and getting this fan base all excited and starting to see the fandom that is being displayed across the country for this team, does them making the wild card or being in such a tight race right now increase the chances of Rogers Communications bucking up to pay Robbie Ray and Marcus Semien? And do you think that this race increases Robbie Ray and Marcus Semien's want to come back to Toronto? Kind of an unfinished business type of idea. I mean, unless they go all the way to the World Series, and even in that case, do they try and go back to back? Like, obviously, I'm jumping way off the deep end. But do you think just being in a wild card race increases the opportunity for this organization to sign these two megastars that have helped us?
Well, there's two parts to that question, right? Does it increase the interest in the ownership group to spend the money?
Yes.
And how does it affect the interest in those guys to return?
On the player side.
I don't know how a mega billion-dollar corporation operates things, but you just said it a few minutes ago. Like, the Jays are heating up, and we're seeing a bump in our numbers, mm-hmm. right? Our views are up on YouTube. Our stream from last Tuesday against the Orioles, we had, like, 15 people.
Yeah.
And then against the Yankees last week was, like, 115 people. Like, yeah. It's up 1,000%. Right? Like... I'm sure Sportsnet sees a similar bump in their numbers in people tuning in to Sportsnet to watch a Blue Jays game as opposed to just throwing on Netflix or
you can't walk whatever. Downtown Calgary without seeing Jays hats and Jays jerseys and Jays shirts everywhere, man. Like,
so yeah, like in terms of merchandise, in terms of like, you know, if I was Home Hardware advertising on Sportsnet right now, I'd sure be pretty excited.
Yeah.
You know I've got a couple jingles stuck in my head, so, you know, like, but again, I don't know how much that actually affects their bottom line or if it's just a drop in the bucket. I feel like the whole Blue Jays thing is just kind of an afterthought for Rogers, to be honest.
Yeah.
So.
They could buck up, though. I mean, there
they totally
is...
could. They totally could. I just don't think they were either going to spend or they weren't.
Mm-hmm. So you don't really think that this wild card race being more significant is necessarily going to move the needle on whether or not Rodgers spends? They probably already knew.
Yeah, like they probably already had in mind, like, look, we are a $50 billion corporation. We either are willing to spend $100 million on a guy or we're not.
Because Marcus Semien, man, as this season goes on, I want him more and more and more. And I'm starting to just... Like, listen, there are 17 players who have recorded 75 extra base hits in a season as a shortstop.
Okay.
There are 19 players in Major League history who have recorded 75 extra base hits in a season as a second baseman.
Wow.
And Marcus Semien is the only player in Major League Baseball history to have done both.
Hey, look at that.
Like, and his defense has been so solid. Listen, I know that there has been some blunders where he just even, I think it was yesterday, threw the ball over Vladdy's head, right, on trying to turn a double play.
He's made a couple defensive errors in the last
He's not perfect. Weeks. That said, he's at 38 home runs currently. He's on a mega hot streak over this, that coincides with this Blue Jays hot streak. I'm starting to feel like him being 32 when free agency hits might be irrelevant, man. I think that if you are going to be a competitive organization in on the Marcus Semien sweepstakes, you want him to retire in your jersey. You're prepared to give him a six-year deal. And I think, honestly, how it's going to go, man, and I could be wrong on exactly what Marcus wants, but if I'm him after this career year that he's putting up in Toronto, I want a contract that I settle into and I don't need to think about for the rest of my career. I want 6 years.
Maybe you're right.
So do the Blue Jays want Marcus Semien to retire in a Blue Jays jersey? I don't know. But if they don't, I don't think he's coming here.
Yeah, well, I think when you put it like that, though, about Marcus wanting like a six-year deal where he doesn't have to worry about moving, like, We've seen it very clear, like, he is a family-oriented guy. Leaving Oakland was hard on the family, right? Mm-hmm. The return to Oakland was very emotional with his wife and his kids in the stands. Maybe that is it. Maybe he takes less annual, you know, millions per year just to have that security of, like, look, I can get my kids into school in Toronto, you know, all this sort of stuff, as opposed to, well, let's go to San Francisco for a couple of years and then roll the dice again. And
we don't know where his values lie. Obviously, who knows? Maybe a 2-year, $60 million deal in San Francisco is exactly what he wants.
Yeah.
But if I'm him, I'm thinking about the long term. And I'm thinking about the fact that I am 32 and that people never get better with age. I mean, unless you're Nelson Cruz, which we'll touch on later. But if I'm Semien, I want to sign the last contract of my career.
Yeah. No, you're right. So how much, I don't know, we can keep speculating on how much money is he going to get. But there is that one glaring issue with Semien, and that is, you know, through 9 years in the league, he hasn't been this player until recently.
That's true.
Right. But 2019 he finished third in MVP voting. But prior to that, he was like a 240 batting average kind of a guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 20 home runs a year, like, wasn't hitting for power, wasn't hitting for average.
So what needs to be evaluated by these organizations that are chasing him in free agency is they ask the question, is this guy a Jose Bautista? Is he an Edwin Encarnacion? Is this a late bloomer who founded at 29 and is going to be one of the most consistent guys in the league? It feels that way. It looks that way. And he did kill it in 2019. I know he had a rough 2020, but
everybody 60 did.
Games. 60 games, and he really did pull out of it in the last 25 games of the year. So how often do players slump for 30 to 35 games? All the time, man. Mm-hmm. Vladdy has slumped this year. I mean, kind of.
Yeah, he'll take a week off where he's only hitting 315.
I mean, I don't know if they are prepared to go 6 years, and I guess it does kind of depend on what happens with Robbie Ray, because pitching is paramount in this league, and I think that despite both of them being incredibly important to this team, Robbie Ray has a slight edge if you can only take one. Personally, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, the starting pitching, dude, has been... Let's start with going back in time a little, okay? Let's go to April 1st, where you and I and everyone in the Jays Nation was pounding the drum of this starting pitching is not going to cut it. And we were seeing struggles with Tanner Roark. Nate Pearson all of a sudden was... I mean, listen, man,
I forgot about Tanner Roark.
Tommy Malone was in this starting rotation.
Steven Matz was our best pitcher.
Statistically,
he was our best.
Things have flipped,
pitcher.
Man. It is the complete opposite. Steven Matz is still having a great season. He's at a 3.77 ERA, and he is the fifth best pitcher in this rotation. Listen to these numbers. Okay, so they are 22. The starting rotation is 22-11. In their last 52 starts since the All-Star break. Wow. They've got a 3.28 ERA over that time. Best in the AL. Alek Manoah has 92 strikeouts, and that's the most ever by a Blue Jays pitcher in their first 16 games. Jose Berríos, my goodness. Pete Walker's like, stop putting your hands over your head. All of a sudden he does, and he's the best pitcher in baseball. Buddy, his last three starts have been incredible. His curveball is one of the most exciting pitches to watch. He just drops that thing in there whenever he chooses, and it's a strike. It is wild to see this guy perform like he is. And I mean, my goodness, we're almost at the point where literally our ace... And when I say that, I mean our pseudo most paid, highest paid guy, Hyunjin Ryu, probably slots in at number four in this rotation at this point. And he's no slouch. He's been great, actually. I mean, he just about no-hit the Orioles, even though they did wind up losing that game, right? It's exciting to look at this team and see the areas that were definite weak points only months ago and to see how they have shored things up. Let's talk the bullpen for a second here, because this bullpen has almost sunk this team on numerous occasions. They fixed things on the go here. I mean, they had to jump the trade deadline gun to go out and get Trevor Richards and Adam Simber. Let's look at this Richards trade.
Right.
Because, man... They wound up moving him for Rowdy Tellez, who is just lighting it up in Milwaukee. But it is an exciting time for both fan bases to look at this trade and be like, somehow this trade worked out for both of us and shored up areas of need for both of these teams. Trevor Richards, since joining the Toronto Blue Jays in 23 games, has a 2.92 ERA, a 0.77 whip. Walks, wow. Hits, innings pitched, he's under one. That's insane. A 143 opponent's batting average, 2.6 walks per nine, 11.3 Ks per nine.
Wow.
Trevor Richards has allowed this team to DFA Tyler Chatwood. It allowed them to DFA Rafael Dolis. It allowed them to move on from bullpen pieces that only 2 months ago we were like, we want to hate Charlie, but how can you? There's no other choices, right?
No, you're right. I mean, I think plain and simple, without guys like Richards, without guys like Simber, we are not on a 11-1 stretch.
No. And Simber has given up some home runs, but he still has a 1.69 ERA in the 26 innings that he's pitched with Toronto.
Well, when you have a whip under one, they're all solo shots.
Yeah.
Right? So it doesn't hurt you the way a two-run, three-run home run really starts to add up.
even look at that Simber trade, getting Corey Dickerson.
The forgotten piece that we did not even seem to think, wow, he's on the injured list. Maybe he'll contribute, but...
Like, he has contributed a lot, and he has been a lefty bat that has broken up this right-handed heavy order for the Blue Jays and has been great. And if you look at Joe Panik's numbers, like, he was great for the Blue Jays as a utility guy. Santiago Espinal stepped in and has outperformed him bottom line. Mm-hmm. Joe Panik, since joining the Marlins, has a 176 batting average, 257 on base percentage.
That's nothing.
A slugging of 220. Like, he just has been... He's a fringe. He's probably should be in AAA, if the truth be told. And then Adam McInvale was the A-ball pitcher that they kind of threw in there, and he's in AA with Miami right now, and he's pitched just under a 7 ERA. So even he hasn't really worked out for the Marlins. I'm not celebrating that. Obviously, it would be nice. Like, I like seeing that Richards trade having worked out for both teams. But my goodness, like, what the Blue Jays managed to get for Joe Panik.
Yeah.
Tip of the hat to Shapiro and Atkins. And it makes you need, like, you're like, okay, well, Brad Hand, they did screw up Brad Hand, but it does make that Brad Hand move a little bit more tolerable when you're like, well, Richards and Simber has been phenomenal for this bullpen, and
well,
definitely
short. We said it last week, and I'll reiterate it today, you know, bullpen trades like that are lottery tickets, you know.
Yeah.
If you buy one lottery ticket in your life and you don't win,
it's because you didn't buy enough.
It's because you didn't buy enough. What I'm saying is keep gambling, guys. It'll pay off in the long run. The house never wins. That's the expression, right? The house never wins.
Yeah. So you gotta spread those tickets out.
Yeah, just double down, right?
I mean, Jordan Romano, the dude is killing it.
Okay. Can we talk about Jordan Romano and his home run tendencies, though?
Yes.
He gives up a few home runs.
He does. He has this weird ability. You know, he reminds me a little bit of Grant Fuhr in the Oilers days back in the day there, where
that's a great
Grant
analogy.
Fuhr was never the best goaltender in the league, but he would always be better than the team he was playing. Like, he would allow 5 runs, but the Oilers would score 6.
Yeah.
So Jordan Romano, you watch him come in when he has a 3-run lead.
Sorry,
he's just burying 101
Scott,
miles an hour. Sorry, go ahead.
I can't let you get away with this. He would allow 5 runs. Goals. They're goals in hockey.
Yeah,
Wayne Gretzky is the all-time goals leader, not the all-time runs leader.
That was a slip and you caught me. Yeah.
All right, back to baseball.
Yeah, all good. I guess the point was is that if you give Romano 3 runs to play with, he's going to use them. And I'm all right with that. He's a guy who kind of looks at the score and is like, all right, if I've got 3 runs to play with, then yeah, hit 101 miles an hour down the middle. If you hit it, you hit it. If you don't, well, we're out of this inning. And then when the margin for error gets tighter, all of a sudden you start seeing him actually pitch. Right, instead of just throwing flame. Do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree. How do you think that compares to Nate Pearson, who we saw pitch in the 9th against the Yankees yesterday? Seems very similar.
I think Nate Pearson is still trying to get his legs under him. I did like how he pitched yesterday. I know he gave up 2 home runs, but if you're going to come in with a 4-run lead, I do not want to see Nate Pearson walking, guys. I would far prefer to see him hammer 100 miles an hour down the middle, and good hitters are going to hit that, and they're going to hit it hard. But you know what? Not everybody can hit 100 miles an hour, and if you've got a 4-run lead in the 9th, and you're looking to close out a 4-game series against the New York Yankees, fire it down the middle. Try and end this thing. And he did, you know?
No, what's more likely, to hit 4 solo shots or walk 3
or
guys?
Exactly.
Yeah. How do you feel about Nate Pearson in a like a playoff situation?
I think I need to see it.
Yeah.
I need to see him.
See more.
Shut guys down before we just throw him into high leverage situations. I like what Charlie's doing with him, honestly, man. Mm-hmm. I think that they're kind of giving him some opportunities to be in some pseudo high leverage situations, you know, like we're not going to call 4 runs up 4 runs to the Yankees in the bottom of the 9th high leverage. But you know what? It's still the Yankees.
Yep.
And you put guys on, you know, one swing of the bat can tie it up.
I think we should be pitching him every opportunity we have for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think we see Julian Merriweather in high leverage situations before we see Nate Pearson.
Yes. I'm not saying necessarily every high leverage situation we can, but
no,
every opportunity saying, where man, he's rested, if it's every two games, let's put him in for an inning, regardless of the score. If we're up by, you know, whether it's the seventh inning or the ninth inning and whatever, I just don't want to see him pitch once or twice a week. I want to see him pitching three times a week. You know, and let's get him out there. Let's get the reps.
I do too. If it's like, I still wish to be careful with the kid, but I'm with you because this is a big arm that really could be put to good use in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Let's talk catching for a second here. All three catchers, Jano, Reese, Kirk, have been very good over the last 3 weeks. But Alejandro Kirk is, how do I put this without it making it seem like I was down on him? He's impressing me for his age and how many steps forwards he's taken this year. I loved Kirk all along, but I was definitely more tepid on him than maybe some of the Alejandro Kirk fan club was.
Oh, he's got some diehard fans, that's for sure.
Yes, he's got some diehard fans, and I love to see it. But he also was 21 and showed some defensive problems and, you know, wasn't really throwing guys out when they were running. He's a 21-year-old catcher, right? Mm-hmm. But my goodness, the bats. The at-bats that this kid is putting together over this last 13, 14 games, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, big at-bats in big places.
No drawing walks clutch when he needs to. Hits. Clutch hits. So let's go over his stats here. Last 13 games, 4 home runs. Obviously, he had that big 2 home run game.
Putting up some power.
8 RBIs. He's hitting .283, which is great.
Yeah.
And a slugging percentage of .587. And slugging percentage is always one of those stats that I have to Google what's a good slugging percentage. But it's basically anything over like 400 for a slugging percentage is really good. Right. 500 is great. And 600 is like Hall of Fame numbers. But 587, he's like...
He's 11 off of...
He's on fire right now. Yeah. So who's our catcher... In a big game situation, Scott.
That's what I was just going to say. I think in a big game situation, Kirk is our guy now.
Like wild card game, he's getting the start?
I don't know if they put him behind the plate. I guess it really depends on what's going on injury-wise, where Springer is. I know that he's been given some DH opportunities that maybe you wouldn't see Kirk in that designated hitter spot, and them having two catchers in their batting order. But they are allowed to do that. Like, they're allotted that leeway now that they've got that extra roster spot and they're carrying three catchers, which personally I think is one too many. However, it does allow them to put Kirk into that DH spot for his bat. And he has excelled, man. It's been pretty uplifting to see.
It's definitely encouraging.
Who do you start in a wild card game behind the plate? Do you go with Jano? And if it's Robbie Ray, does that just automatically mean it's Kirk, being that he's his?
They are the
personal
the
catcher.
Couple. Yeah,
the couple.
I guess. Yeah, if the de facto starter is Ray, then the de facto catcher is Kirk, right? He catches all of Ray's games lately since he's back now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't mess with that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see. Like, that's one thing about how tight this wild card race is that, who knows, the Blue Jays might not be given the opportunity to align their rotation so that Ray is that wild card guy. You know, like, they literally may need Ray to pitch in his regular rotation spot right to the end to ensure that they get it in. Yeah. You know, like, what good is aligning him to be your wild card pitcher if you're still, like, you know, 3 games out and are like, ooh. So we'll see what happens here. I mean, with this team heating up, though, buddy, like, Vladdy, all of a sudden, who looked like he had kind of sort of fallen out of a Triple Crown opportunity, is now right back in the thick of things, buddy. Well, you've got his numbers up, right?
Yeah, let's look at his stats. Past 10 games, he's now hitting .405. That's a batting average.
Yeah, this isn't on base, this by isn't the on way. Base guys.
.405 with 6 home runs and 9 RBIs. Which, funny thing is, I don't even think he's maybe top 3 on our team in those categories in the last 10 games. Like, I'm sure Simeon and Gurriel have more RBIs.
Yeah. Boy, Lourdes just was on fire there for a while. He's cooled off the last couple games, but I mean, he was also in his last 11 games hitting something like .380.
Yeah, very valuable piece. So, as far as the Triple Crown goes, Triple Crown is the leader in home runs, RBIs, and batting average. So currently, Vladdy is 1 home run behind Shohei Ohtani. A few weeks ago, he was, 5 or 6 home runs behind him? Mm-hmm. So he's really closed the gap there. RBIs, he's at 100 now. He's only 4 behind the leader with 104. That's Salvador Perez. And for batting average, he has the lead at .319. Michael Brantley is in second place with .315 batting average. So he's a grand slam away from a tie in all three categories. Like, he's literally at this point one swing of the bat away from being in possession of the Triple Crown, which is wild.
He's 22. Pretty exciting stuff.
Let me just put this in a little bit of a historical perspective. He would be the first Triple Crown winner in 9 years. The last one to do it was Miguel Cabrera in 2012, which is less impressive than when you look back 60 years and you go, well, Miguel Cabrera was the first guy to do it in 50 years. So that was pretty exceptional there. It's 10 guys have done it in Major League Baseball history.
Like, in 150 years of pro baseball, 10 dudes.
And here's one thing, too, is usually a Triple Crown winner is league-based. So it's AL or NL. You lead the AL in those stats, or you lead the NL in those stats. Vladdy has a chance to do it across the entire major leagues, which would be the first time that that has happened since 1965. Mickey Mantle.
Wow.
Sorry, 65 years ago was the last time that happened. That was Mickey Mantle in 1956. So he's...
And I mean, Vladdy just hit his 42nd yesterday, which also made it out to be 100 RBIs for him as of yesterday.
Youngest Blue Jay to ever do that.
Youngest Blue Jay to ever do that. And there's still, what is there, 25 games left?
Yeah, 24 or 23 games left. So
the kid is not done yet.
No. And the way this team is hitting, there's a lot more RBIs on the table. Like, as long as he can stay healthy and everyone else can stay healthy, you know?
Agreed.
So.
Agreed. Before we move on to the rest of Major League Baseball, I did wish to touch on Charlie Montoyo because, honestly, dude, I've been very impressed with the way he has managed this club over the last 10 games, 11 games. Actually, since this kind of 11-1 stretch is gone, and I know one of my biggest beefs over the last month has been that it has appeared from a fan standpoint looking inward that there has been a little bit of a lack of urgency, that Charlie is giving rope where maybe rope should not be given to some of these guys. And I feel like maybe I was rope-a-doped a little bit by the dude because, you know, this whole time I'm like, I don't know if he's making the right moves, if he's showing enough ferocity in his attempt to kind of claw out wins. And now you're seeing it, buddy. Like, man, what a huge move in Wednesday's game. Rather than going to Nate Pearson, who was warming up in the bullpen, he went to Jordan Romano for his back-to-back. He had Romano warming up last night. He was prepared to send Romano out there if Nate needed it. You know, like, had Nate given up those two home runs and walked a guy, and all of a sudden the tying runs at the plate, I guarantee you that Charlie is calling in Romano. And that is the sort of shit that I wanted to see out of my manager.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about the last week? I mean, it's easy to love your manager when you're 11-1, right?
This is like the one downside to this whole...
Is that we're stuck with Charlie for another year for sure.
Charlie Montoya. Yeah. He just saved his job.
Yeah, he saved his job.
Or the team saved his job. I don't know. Maybe the team rallied around the fact that, like, hey, if we don't get this together...
Mm-hmm.
Charlie's gonna get the axe, and who knows who we're bringing it, right?
Then who's playing the bongos?
Who's handing us the jacket, man? Yeah, I don't know. I continue to believe that he is just the puppet, and the puppet masters have hotter cards to play right now. So,
yeah.
You know, that's, you know, it's a lot easier to make those calls when everybody is on their A game. So
it's true. It's very true, and that's exactly what the Toronto Blue Jays have done, is they have found their A game. Did you have anything else to add here, my man, before we move on to...
No, not at all. I just want to mention the fact that the Jays have gained 9 games on the wild card spot in the last 12 days.
Like,
2 weeks ago, we were going, man, well, if we can make up like one game a week for the next 5 weeks, you know, and then maybe it's close at the end... Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, it's pretty mind-blowing as a Jays fan to look at the standings and see that they are half a game back of the New York Yankees. Like, and you summed it up beautifully, man. 12 days ago, you look at the standings and the Yankees, first place in that wild card spot, right? Like, they were that number one wild card team, and they were up on the Jays by, what was it, 9, 10?
Something like that.
You know, like, yeah. All right. Let's get into the Major League Baseball side of things. I did wish to touch on the Tampa Bay Rays, because this is a team, man, that despite every baseball analyst out there refuses to take a step back whenever they lose a major pitching piece. And this is what everyone was saying at the beginning of the season, myself included, is that how can they continue to be as dominant as they are when they lose their top pitchers in Blake Snell and Charlie Morton? Tyler Glasnow goes down halfway through the season. Dude, like, they're the best team in the American League.
I would say the Jays are the hottest team right now, but probably the second best team in the AL behind the Rays.
And buddy, they are doing it in true Rays fashion. Just analytically the tightest team in baseball, man. And I mean, the fact, I did want to touch on really quickly here, Nelson Cruz, just an incredible acquisition at that trade deadline, really putting their chips in. And of course, Cruz is not normally a guy, because of his salary, that the Rays would go in on him. This is a time that they're actually kind of biting the bullet and paid some money to get a legitimate home run hitter. And that is exactly what Cruz has done since joining this Tampa Bay Rays team, is hit bombs. And what's even more interesting is that Nelson Cruz, at 21 years old, would have been the year that Wander Franco, the other driving force of this Tampa Bay Rays team, was born. Yeah. They are being led right now by a 20-year-old kid and a 41-year-old grandfather. Like...
Yeah,
it is mind-blowing. Do you want to go over Cruz's numbers really quick here since joining
the Rays? Since joining the Rays, he has hit a batting average of .238, which is actually down since he was with the Twins. He was hitting .294 with the Twins.
Right.
But he has hit 11 home runs in like 30 games since being traded to the Rays. So basically every 3 days he's hitting a home run.
Which is a significant increase
since his time with the Twins, when he was hitting one a little less than every 4 games. But it does just feel like he's in a role. He knows what he's there for. He's there to be a power guy. Like, just swing away, you know?
Yeah. He is there to hit dingers, and that's what he's doing. I mean, my goodness.
He's not there to be an outfielder. That's
no,
for
he's
sure.
not there to play left. They're gonna put him there sometimes, but yeah. he's not there to play left. And I mean, Wander Franco, he was the number one prospect in all of baseball, and of course, the Rays, in true Ray fashion, manipulated his service time to the point where they also manipulated his arbitration eligibility. So they have this kid under contract. I mean, I think it's six years yeah. until they would lose him, and it's 4 years until they even need to negotiate arbitration with him.
Yeah.
So since coming up, Wander Franco is, what, 60 games into his major league career?
Yeah. And he's hitting .282 with 7 home runs and 36 RBIs. And just getting 20. Big hits in big moments, like...
20. The kid's 20.
Yeah.
Like, unreal. And on okay. the other side of things... Sorry, do you have anything to add there?
I was just going to say, we have the Rays coming to town next week.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a 3-game series against the Orioles, which hopefully... we can stay hot. And I mean, the Orioles have been good. They've been playing the spoiler role, and they're not to be taken lightly. Is it a 4-game? Oh, yeah, it's a doubleheader on Saturday.
Doubleheader tomorrow, right. Yeah.
So 4 against the Orioles. You need to take at least 3 of those.
Yeah.
Minimum, right?
Yeah. Agreed, man. They've
But then when we got the Rays starting on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday against the Rays, like, that feels like playoff preview.
I agree, man.
Doesn't it feel like these guys are just going to be button heads in the playoffs?
Well, it feels like we're in a race to have a 1-game wild card for who gets to play the Tampa Bay Rays, right? Yeah. Like, it's going to be either Boston or New York that the Jays play in the wild card.
Maybe Seattle.
Maybe Seattle.
Seattle's still playing well.
They are still, and they're playing phenomenal baseball. Look, too. Like, they're the right Yankees, there with the Jays.
The Yankees are, I mean, the Jays are hot. The Yankees are on fire, and not in a good way. They're a dumpster fire.
Yeah, they are. And you know what? I just saw that Jameson Taillon might miss his next start. He's dealing with some forearm soreness. Well, Gerrit Cole mm-hmm. might miss his next start. He's got that hamstring stuff that he left the Jays game halfway through. I think it was in the third inning. He got taken out.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
and then look
we're
at
down
Chris Sale
to
with the Red Sox, right? Like, he's
put on that COVID-IL.
COVID-IL, right?
And I mean, Boston is ripped apart by COVID exactly. right now.
So, I don't know. It could be Jays versus Mariners in the wild card, and I feel like
I want the Yankees. I want the Yankees in the wild card.
No, I want it
you're
to
like,
be
no, Scott.
I want a home game for the Mariners that you and I can drive down to.
Yes. There we go. All right.
There we go.
Okay, while we're talking Boston and New York, I know I sent you that photo of who the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Jays are all playing their schedules here. Do you have that up?
Have it up. Okay. So the Blue Jays play the Orioles 7 times and the Twins 7 times. That's 14 games that are very winnable.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be overlooked, but
nope.
Very winnable. And then we also have 3 against the Yankees and 6 against the Rays.
So really, man, if they can go 10-4 in that 14 against the Orioles and Twins,
yeah,
and go 5-4
yeah,
against the Rays and Yankees, this team's the number one wild card spot.
Very doable. Yankees, on the other hand, 3 against the Mets, 1 against the Twins, 3 against Baltimore, 3 against Cleveland, 3 against Texas, 3 against Boston, 3 against us, and 3 against the Rays. The Red Sox have 3 against the White Sox,
yeah,
3 against Seattle, 6 against Baltimore, 2 with the Mets, 3 against Washington, and 3 against the Yankees.
So our schedule is probably the softest schedule. Obviously, there are some below 500 teams that all 3 of these contenders are playing.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting, man. What a fun time.
Well, if, with the Yankees and the Red Sox playing each other for three, that's a guaranteed that one of them is going to lose two games right there.
Exactly.
At least.
Exactly.
So, good time to be a Jays fan.
Go Jays, man.
Go
Absolutely.
Jays.
Did we have anything to add here? Did you want to touch on anything before we call it?
No, I think that's good. Let's wrap it up there.
All right. Well, thank you so much to everybody for tuning in and listening. Of course, we run our podcast every single Friday. Please join us on Tuesday as we're going to be live streaming that Rays Jays game. And if you tune in a little bit beforehand, we're going to be doing the mailbag and we'll go over all of your YouTube comments and your questions and so on and so forth from our other platforms. You can follow us on Instagram, the Walk Off Podcast, and on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast. Take care, everybody. Go Blue Jays.
Go Jays.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osmer with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.